You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey everybody, welcome back to Bucketheads, episode 39 of Land Grant Holy Lands College Basketball Podcast. My name is Connor Lamons, and I'm here with Justin Gova after a four-week hiatus. I was a little under the weather, I apologize. So I was on the 15-day IL there for a little bit.
Yeah, you know, we just gotta get healthy and get back at it. You know, we're all good now. We're back into it. College basketball is ramping up. Just kidding. It's June 8th. College basketball is in its literal deadest of modes, but we still have some fun stuff to talk about.
Yeah. So if my voice starts dying out or cracking out a little bit here, bear with me. I did not get COVID. I did not get the grip. I have still avoided it, but I was pretty fucked up for a couple weeks. So there wasn't going to be a postponement of that episode. We just had to cancel 2 weeks ago. But anyway, we had a couple mailbag questions people threw in. We have some TBT news. We're going to play a fun little game about the transfer portal and all of the players that are still in the transfer portal. I believe there's about 800 Division I basketball players still in the portal. And most rosters are like pretty set by now. And then we have a little NBA draft news. So, or maybe not news, but we'll talk a little bit about the Ohio State players that are potentially going to be first rounders in the draft in a few weeks. So, first of all, Justin, news this week, Carmen's crew for the first time in 6 years will not be participating in TBT.
No, we will not get a Carmen's crew team this year. They will not get to avenge their late loss last summer. Jared Sullinger released a statement kind of through the Carmen's crew, I think actually through his Twitter account, then Carmen's crew released it. It says, Carmen crew fans were disappointed to share that we will be unable to compete in TBT this summer. Since 2017, we've greatly enjoyed the opportunity to get back together and represent The Ohio State University, and we look forward to doing it again in 2023. We hope that all of our fans will continue to support TBT at their events in Cincinnati, Dayton, and around the country this summer. So it seems like they're maybe going through a little bit of a roster overhaul. I know after last year, Aaron Kraft and Diebler announced they were done with TBT. I think David Leidy might have alluded to it as well, that he might be done. And then also William Buford, I think he was a little bit shaky. So, you know, they've had the same teams, pretty much the same at least core guys since 2017. But those guys are getting older, let's be honest. They're all in their 30s now. Aaron Kraft is trying to become a doctor. All of these guys have kids and whatnot, so – you know, they're starting kind of new phases of their lives as well. So I think they might try be going out looking for some younger, maybe Ohio State alumni. Maybe not. I don't know. We'll see kind of – it'll be interesting to see what the team looks like when they come back in 2023. But we will not get a team this year. But it is nice that in the statement they did say we will be back in 2023. And also I want to point out, do please still support TBT. It's a great program, great cause, a lot of great teams with great causes. Connor is one of Sideline Cancer's biggest fans. So, you know, just look it up, look up a cause you support, pick a team and support them throughout this 2022 with No Carmen's Crew.
Yeah, it's an awesome event. If you're in the Dayton area, if you're in, I think Cincinnati has a regional too. If you're in the Dayton or Cincinnati area, definitely try to go to a couple TBT games. They're a totally different energy. Justin, I don't know if you've ever been to a TBT game. Because I know they've been in Columbus a few times, but I don't think they've been in Northeast Ohio. There's so much fun, the energy in the room when they get like the Elam ending tacked up on the board. And, you know, basically you're just at that point playing like street ball to get to a target score. It's a lot of fun. There's still a couple Ohio teams in it. The Dayton team, Cincinnati has a team again, right?
I believe so. I'm not positive. They're not quite done announcing all the teams and whatnot.
And then Xavier has like Zip 'em Up, but it's a really, really fun cause. It's a really fun tournament. A lot of these teams are alumni teams. And then a lot of these teams are going to be donating part of their winnings to a cause. So you mentioned Sideline Cancer. There's also like the team that raises money for ALS. There's a lot of really good teams with a lot of really good causes, so definitely still pay attention to TBT. But I think that we might lose Carmen's Crew altogether if we don't get some of probably like the early Holtman players, if they don't kind of step up and start taking over that roster. We may not see another Carmen's Crew team because, like you said, those guys that played last summer are like in their early to mid 30s now. Like they're done. Like that roster is done.
Yeah, and we talked about it a little bit earlier, you know, those guys of like the mid Thad Mata era, not the early, not really the late, maybe the early a little bit, but not really the late guys, but like the middle of like William Buford, John Diebler, Aaron Kraft, Sullinger, however, you know, all those guys, David Leidy. They have that kind of special place of nostalgia in Ohio State fans' hearts. It's kind of like Tobey Maguire, Spider-Man. People will just always love it no matter what. So I think those guys, I don't know if they go to the younger guys of, let's say, like a Cam Williams or a CJ Jackson, CJ Wall, there's nothing wrong with those guys, but they're not going to have the same, I think, energy and kind of, like I said, the nostalgia factor that comes with that other team that, you know, people – who grew kind of not grew up, but people remember watching those teams and remember how fun it was to see those teams go like 32-4. And they just always had a kind of a fun, even when they, you know, those teams for the most part, I could argue pretty much underachieved, but they were still fun to watch. So, it's always kind of it's going to be interesting to see kind of, I think the fan support will still be there, but I don't think it'll quite be what it was with the OG guys.
Yeah, I mean, those were like really successful teams, and Ohio State hasn't had teams that were that successful in the past decade. They haven't had players that people will remember for being, Sweet 16 players or Elite Eight players or Final Four players because they haven't had a Sweet 16 in a decade. So it'll be interesting. Like you said, I'm sure that there will probably still be a team. I'm thinking guys like you said, like Cam Williams, the Wesson brothers, maybe like CJ Walker potentially, but they don't have the same rep or like love from Ohio State fans, unfortunately, as some of those guys from like the early 2010s that, you know, so many people grew to love. So it'll be interesting. And it'll also be interesting to see if maybe it'll end up being like a blended team of the two. Like David Leidy never said he was done playing in TBT. William Buford never said he was done playing in TBT. Neither did Lenzel Smith. So could you have a team that's like a couple of those guys, plus like Keyshawn Woods, Caleb Wesson, maybe like Jimmy Sotos next year? I don't know. I would be surprised if they had that kind of blended team, but maybe.
Yeah, and also to clarify, the underachieving I was talking about was just the two teams that were one seeds, the loss in the Sweet 16. But they were still obviously fun teams because they were one seeds. Yeah, we'll see. I don't know. Lighty's like oddly old. Like I think people forget, unless I'm mistaken here, he was on the 2006 national championship team, right? He's a freshman. He was in that Greg Oden, Mike Conley class. He just, well, he redshirted. But it says he was at a, he said he got to Ohio State in 2006, which means Lighty's at least, let me look, Lighty's 34. So, like, and he turns, he just turned 34. So, like, these guys are, that's getting up there. I think people forget how old some of these guys actually are. Lighty's older than Diebler, which is surprising to me. But, so, I don't know that they'll come back. I hope they do. Lighty's probably a guy who'll play basketball. He'll probably hoop till he's 60. I mean, it just feels like that. But, you know, I think you can pretty much definitely rule out, like, a Jeff Gibbs, who's 47 years old at this point. You can probably definitely rule out maybe like an Evan Rapp. Well, no, Evan Rapinoe's a little bit younger, so I don't know. We'll see. It'll be fun to see this lineup come to fruition. It's cool also because it seems like Sullinger is going to stay with the team no matter what and coach. So you always have that kind of nostalgia, at least, of a Sullinger with it.
Yeah, and the thing that's weird is like, or maybe weird, not the right word. It's like the only player, it's like the players that made up that like really fun championship team were pretty much all guys that were like, they, most of them either were drafted and never made it to the NBA or like had a real quick cup of coffee in the NBA. Like not only were they fan favorites, but they were really good basketball players. Like they were all either NBA draftees or very close to being in the NBA, like Diebler, Buford, Costa Kufis played. The only guys that have, like, the younger guys since then that have made it to the NBA or had a cup of coffee, there's a few of them from Holtman that are, like, still in the league. So, like, Kata Bates-Diop, Jayshon Tate. And then you have, like, a couple guys that were, like, G leaguers. So you have, like, Caleb Wesson, basically. But there's not as many high quality players. Like if Kata Bates-Diop burnt out in the NBA and then went and played for Carmen's Crew, like that would be a big deal. But like, I don't know if like Cam Williams and CJ Jackson is going to bring the same excitement. Like there hasn't been borderline NBA players that at this point are ready to play in TBT.
Well, and I think that goes maybe when this will probably be maybe a conversation for a different time, but I think that plays us into like the transfer thing. Right, C.J. Jackson, C.J. Walker were transfers into Ohio State, while those other guys, the OGs on the Carmen's Crew, all those guys were 4 or 5 years at Ohio State. So, you know, they had more time to kind of be those household names, if that makes sense. I think, like you said, like if Jayshon Tate were to play, you would have that same nostalgia factor because Ohio State fans love Jayshon Tate. So, hopefully he doesn't because I hope he has a great long career in the NBA, but – you know, my point is just, I think a lot of those guys, it'll be interesting to see even guys who just graduated, you know? I mean, we still have a year before they put together a team. So, I will see, like you said, you know, guys like Jimmy Soto's are playing in TBT. They're just not playing for Carmen's Crew. A lot of guys, Andrew Dockage is coached, I think. I think he coaches Big X. Big X is like an Ohio State, Michigan kind of team. So we'll see. I love TBT. It's super fun. So I hope they do come back because it is fun to really gear your horse to a team and really watch it.
To jump ship here to something else. I know you're a Cavs fan. I'm not a Cavs fan. I have not watched a single minute of NBA this season, and the finals are going on.
Yeah, I'm currently watching the Celtics Warriors. Jason Tatum just got hurt, so pay attention.
Are you holding out hope that the Cavaliers are going to take Branham at 14?
I absolutely. If I had to have a mock draft, the Cavaliers are taking Branham at 14. It's exactly what they need. The Cavs really only have two picks, in my opinion, maybe three, and it's Branham, it's Oshae Agbaji. I think he'd be a perfect fit as well, and then maybe if he falls, a Johnny Davis, but I don't think Johnny Davis will fall to 14. He's looking like he's pretty much a top 7-8 kind of lock. But yeah, I think Branham is a perfect fit, not just because he's an Ohio State guy, but they just need a guy who can kind of find a spot and create off the dribble. That's really all they're kind of missing in a wing, and that's exactly what he provides. So he's not really a point guard, but you know, the Cavs started three guys who were 7 foot last season. So they do need somebody who's not 7 foot. That would be great. So I think of Malachi Branham or Oche Agbaji. And that's not like a galaxy brain take by me. That's pretty much what everybody's saying. So I'm not going to act like I'm making anything original over here, but that, you know, if it's smacking you in the face, maybe figure it out, you know. I got really excited. I just want to point out, we can talk about this maybe on the next pod because it's right before the draft, but EJ Liddell worked out with the Warriors. That would be an unbelievable fit for him. So that would be great.
Yeah, there's a few teams that – the thing with me with NBA is like I don't really watch the NBA anymore. I never really got super into NBA, but since I've been covering college hoops, I've learned a lot about kind of what NBA teams consider like translatable skills and what's not. Why do guys who like dominate like Luka Garza – people are like, he might get drafted versus a guy like, trying to think of a good example, like Peyton Watson from UCLA, who like it scored like 4 points a game last season for UCLA, but is potentially a first rounder. I've learned a lot about like what scouts consider to like translate well to the league. And it's really, really fun when you see certain teams that you're like, oh, EJ Liddell worked out with so-and-so. And for some reason you're just like, oh my God, that would be so like, God, that would be delicious. Like adding EJ Liddell to Steph Curry and Klay Thompson and Draymond and fucking Jordan Poole, like they would plug him into so many different spots and he legitimately could be like a 35-40% 3-point shooter in the league still.
Yeah. And we've talked about how the NBA just basically drafts off potential. I mean, you look at a guy like Shaedon Sharpe is a great example. There's people that truly believe he might go number one in the draft and he didn't play a minute for Kentucky. You know, and
there's a lot of. I don't know about that. I don't know about that.
When did he play?
No, you said go number one in the draft, Shaedon Sharpe.
I've seen people that think he should. I'm not saying he's going to. He's not going to. But I've seen people that think he should go number one. Number one is going to come down to either Banchero, Holger, Chet, or Jabari Smith. But I've just seen people that think Shaedon Sharpe has the utility or whatever it's called to go number one. He'll probably go number five or six, but still. He'll go top 10, and he didn't play a minute in college, but it's because of potential of what he can do. I mean, you even look at why guys – we talk about this all the time. We use this for Dwayne Washington. Look at a guy like Jalen Brunson. Anybody who paid any attention to college basketball knew how good Jalen Brunson was, but he was old. So he fell in the draft, and he went to the Mavs, and you know now he's playing great. Yeah, second round. Jordan Poole is a decent example of that. I don't know why Jordan Poole fell so far, but he did. He was undrafted. So – yeah, or was he second round? Regardless. But a guy like that, he's just always been he's just a hooper. Like he just scores at every level. And then you put him on the Warriors. It's like, thanks. I appreciate that. It's like the Chiefs who get everybody, you know, the rich get richer. So there's a lot of guys who, when you look at they kind of get drafted off, like I said, potential and what you believe. I mean, even a Jabari Smith at Auburn, there were times he did not look great at all. But he's a 6'10 guy who can get to the lane. He's a three-way scorer, you know, three-level scorer. He's going to go top three. So the NBA is very weird like that, I think. And that's why when people always criticize, like, why Malachi Branham came out or, oh, he didn't look like a lottery pick, they're not basing it off of everything he did at Ohio State. They're basing it off of what they think he can become. And Malachi Branham can become a very, very good player in the NBA, and I think he's going to be.
Just FYI, Jordan Poole, after his sophomore year at Michigan, was the 28th overall pick in the 2019 draft. So he was a back end of the first round guy.
I thought he was a lottery pick, talent. You know,
he was really obnoxious when he was at Michigan. And sidebar. The first round pick thing, I see that a lot online, and I don't know if people like maybe they don't watch NBA, which I also don't watch NBA, but I still know this. It's like I see a lot of people saying, oh, like Ohio State has two first round picks, and I can't believe that they got bounced in the second round and they had two first round picks on their team. And it's like, and there's like some truth to it, but also. This sounds dumb, but I don't think it's dumb. Is it dumb to say you don't have to be a great college basketball player to be a first round NBA draft pick. Is that a bad sentence?
No, that's completely accurate.
Like, hypothetically, if a team had Peyton Watson and Jalen Williams from Arkansas, Jalen Williams is good, but not great. And Peyton Watson was a bench warmer. If a team had those two guys as their two best players, they're probably not making the NCAA tournament, but they're first round NBA draft picks. So like, I have been seeing people that have said it's crazy that Ohio State had two first round picks and they didn't even make it on the second weekend again. That's crazy. And I was thinking about it and I was like, I don't know if it's a crazy sentence, but I don't think you have to be that great in college to even be a first round pick, because a lot of times the NBA scouts have circled you before your season even starts.
Yeah, 100%. It also just goes back to my argument of context. Everything needs context. Everything deserves context. And, you know, yes, is that an accurate statement? Ohio State had two first-round draft picks. They didn't make it out of the second round? Yes. Is there still context needed to what happened throughout the season to them? Yes. Was Malachi Branham a first-round pick in January? No. Like, Malachi Branham became a first-round pick in February. Guaranteed. In January, late January, people were like, well, this guy could be good. In February, it was like, oh, God, he's going to be first-round pick. And then March was like, oh, we're talking lottery now. So it wasn't like Malachi Branham was not supposed to be a one-and-done. Ohio State, again, thought they were going to have Dwayne Washington this season. They thought they were going to have Justice Suing this season. Like, all of those things play a role into this. And let me promise you one thing. A starting lineup, and granted, it wouldn't really be true at this point because Branham wouldn't be a first-round pick, but a starting lineup of what they thought they were going to have, which would have been Jamari Wheeler, Dwayne Washington, Justice Suing, what's his head, DJ Littell, and Zed Key, that team doesn't lose in the second round. So, and Malachi Branham is your sixth man. So, all that just...
I also don't know how important defense really is to NBA scouts. Like, they want to see that a guy is like a clear, has a position. But I feel like when you look at Malachi Branham, it's like he was not a good defensive player. I would say that on a scale of 1 to 10, his defense was like a 4 or a 5. And Ohio State was a bad defensive team. That was their major flaw, was that they were a bad, bad defensive team last year again. And Malachi Branham, for most of the time, contributed to that because he was not a good defensive player. So to say, oh, they had two first-round picks, it's like, well, their flaw wasn't that they weren't efficient scoring the basketball. It's that they all sucked at defense, including Malachi Branham, who, you know, his offense is cash money. So he's going to get drafted high, and they'll figure out the defense once he gets to the league. They'll figure it out later.
Well, that's the thing. The thing NBA people look at in the draft is what you can't teach, right? And a lot of Malachi Branham's best traits are stuff you can't teach. The way he can get to his spot every single time down the floor, his motor, his energy, same with Liddell. Those are like unteachable things. You can teach defense. He'll get better at defense. And again, that's why I like the Cavs. The Cavs are a good defensive team. Isaac Okoro is a good defender. Garland's become getting better at defense. Mobley and Jared Allen are all defensive type guys. So, you know, Chetty was getting a little bit better at defense, a little bit. So you throw Malachi Branham on there and you can kind of hide him a little better when it comes to defense, whereas in Ohio State, they're just not a good defensive team. So all the bad defensive guys individually gets kind of singled out. So, and also get Malachi Branham on the Cavs will probably play 10 to 15 minutes next year. You know, it's not like he's going to play 25, 30 minutes a game. So these are things you can learn. All NBA teams want is youth. And that's a little bit changing because of guys like Jalen Brunson and guys like, Desmond Bane for Memphis is another one. So that's kind of changing, but they want youth and they want things that you can't teach, and then they'll teach you the stuff later. And that's kind of where they're at. That's why Branham is so enticing to guys.
Right. That's why somebody like
Johnny Davis.
That's why a guy like Peyton Watson at UCLA is absolutely going to get drafted after literally riding the bench all season for UCLA. It's because he was a 5-star recruit. He's got a high ceiling. He's young and talented, and teams see that he has a high ceiling, that these things can be taught, but he has all these intangibles and so much promise, even though his college stats were not good, but he potentially could be a first-round pick. I just thought I'd say that because I see the whole, like, Oh, they had two first-round picks, and it will be the first time they've had two draftees in 15 years at Ohio State. So that's a really big deal. But it's, you know, being good at college basketball does not necessarily equal being a good NBA prospect and vice versa. Like, you could kind of stink in college, and an NBA team will be like, it's okay. We see a lot of good stuff. We're still going to take him.
Yeah, I mean, the NFL does it too with guys like Josh Rosen. Everything about Josh Rosen was supposed to be good, but he didn't really play that well at UCLA. But they were like, oh, but he could be good. And then he got to the league and they were like, oh, he still sucks. So, you know, and also, let's be very honest, when it comes to like Chris Holtmann at this point, it's just so divisive of a fan base with what they think about him that there's just people that are going to say, oh, well, they had two first round picks and they didn't go to the second round of the tournament. If they don't have two first round picks, it's going to be, oh, Chris Holtmann can't develop anybody. So it's just, you know, people are just going to, until they get to Sweet 16 or win a Big Ten championship or whatever, people are going to have their opinions. That's fine. But that's, you know, it's there are people that are going to twist every single thing into a negative. So that's kind of where we're at.
They can have like, what it's like, what if this season's team, you know, they have a lot of different switchable pieces on this team, and they've added like Isaac Likely as a very good versatile defender. They have a couple good defenders in this team. Like, what happens if Ohio State ends up with a similar record this season as last season? Like, they come in fifth or sixth place in the Big Ten, and then they go on a little run and make a Sweet 16. Will people be like, oh, this was a better team than last year? Like, hell no. Last year's team had way more talent, but it just goes to show you that, you know, a team that doesn't have a draft pick can make a Sweet 16, and a team that has two first-round picks might not make it out of the second round, because being good in college doesn't necessarily correlate to – being a high a draft pick. But anyway, losing my voice a little bit. I'm writing an article right now, so if you're listening, you get a little sneak peek where I'm kind of keeping track of the different mock drafts, so I can run through real quick and tell you exactly where Malachi is going. And unfortunately, it's a lot of these mock drafts, Justin, are saying that the Cavs are not going to take him at 14.
Like, he'll fall past the Cavs? I don't see that happening. But I mean,
yeah, like the Cavs will choose. Yeah, like there are a lot of these mock drafts are saying that the Cavs will not take him at 14. They'll take somebody else. So
all right, throw me who the Cavs are taking real quick. I'll tell you if yes or no.
Well, I have to hold on. I didn't put all the whole mock draft in my article, but I can pull them up. I just have Malachi and EJ in the article, but I can pull it up. Give me a second here. All right, so Sports Illustrated has taken quite a long time to load on my computer, so give me a second here.
Sounds like Sports Illustrated.
Yeah, shout out Kevin Sweeney. Please fix your website.
But we do need to get you back on the pod soon.
Cavaliers at number 14, taking Osman Deng forward from the New Zealand Breakers in France, and then the Charlotte Hornets take Malachi Branham at 15 right after.
Yeah, not going to act like I watched the Breakers this season. I'm aware of them, but I'm not going to act like I know who that is, so...
And then sure. that one has EJ Liddell going 19 overall, so three spots behind Branham to the Timberwolves.
That's a really good fit. But
all right, next one. CBS Sports has Malachi Branham at number 20 to the San Antonio Spurs, which is actually the lowest that I've seen Branham in any mock draft. They have him at 20 to the Spurs, and EJ Liddell number 23 to the Brooklyn Nets.
Have fun, EJ.
Which, if Malachi dropped all the way to 20,
I'd be stunned. But
Greg Popovich would have a heart attack. That'd be crazy.
Yeah, I'd be stunned. But you know, again, the rich
CBS has CBS Sports has the Cavs taking Wisconsin guard Johnny Davis with pick number 14. I don't think he falls that far.
Yeah, I'd be completely okay with that, but I do not think he will fall that far.
The Athletic has Malachi Branham going with pick 16 to the Atlanta Hawks, and EJ falling all the way to pick number 32 with the Orlando Magic, which I don't think EJ is going to fall to pick 32 after how well he did at the combine.
Yeah, he's only in most mock drafts, he's moving up, not down. So that's interesting.
Which we'll talk about in a second. And they have the Athletic also has Cleveland taking Wisconsin guard Johnny Davis with pick number 14.
You said that, but cool.
No, that's a second one.
Oh, back that's another one. I got you. Okay, I got you.
Yeah, CBS and Athletic has – yeah, they both have that. Tankathon has Branham number 16 to the Atlanta Hawks as well. Liddell number 23 to the 76ers. And they have the Cavs taking that guy from the New Zealand Breakers again.
All right. So that guy apparently people like. I don't, again, like I said, I'm not going to act like I watched the Breakers this year, but
people would be so pissed in Ohio if they took a New Zealand player instead of Malachi Branham.
Well, that's Cavs 101. They draft guys who they did this with Sexton. They did this with Garland. They did this with Mobley. Cavs Twitter, if they don't know who it is because they don't watch college basketball, they get really mad about it. They hated all those picks. Don't let them tell you anything different. So they would hate that pick.
NBA, I would hate that pick. That's not the fun. That's not the fun plot.
That's not the sexy pick. That's not the sexy pick.
No, that doesn't make me happy, and I don't even like the Cavs. NBA DraftNet has Malachi Branham, number 15, to the Charlotte Hornets. EJ Liddell, number 31, to the Indiana Pacers, where he would team up with Dwayne Washington Jr.
And lose to Oral Roberts. Oh, too soon?
Yeah, mute this guy. And they have Cleveland taking Dyson Daniels, a G League guard who I've never heard of.
I do know who Dyson Daniels is. I've watched a little bit of him, but not a lot.
Let's see what else we got here. All right, Yahoo. This is a fun one. Malachi Branham with pick number 10 to the Wizards, and EJ Liddell with pick number 24 to the Bucks, which I think that EJ to the Bucks would be a really good fit too. I would feel bad sending Malachi to the Wizards, though.
I would, but I do think that could be – if he doesn't get to 14, that could be where he goes. It makes a lot of sense.
At 10, yeah. And then they have Yahoo has the Cavs taking LSU sophomore Tari Eason.
Yeah, Tari Eason's the third guy I was kind of mentioning that has picked up a lot of steam kind of after the combine. I just don't want – I don't think the Cavs need another big guy. And he's not huge.
He's like 6'9", 220.
Yeah, I mean, he's not huge, but I think they need a wing/guard, not wing/forward.
And then this is the one that you will like. Bleacher Report has the Cavaliers taking Malachi Branham with the 14th pick and EJ Liddell going pick 25 to the San Antonio Spurs, which he would then team up with Kata Bates Diop. Which I also would love. I think EJ with the Spurs would also be a really good fit.
Yeah, I've always been a big Bleacher Report guy. This just confirms my theory.
So I think what we're seeing, what I'm seeing at least, and again, this is all going to be an article that should run either Thursday or Friday if you want to go see these mock drafts yourself. I'm going to link them all in the article. It looks like Malachi is kind of settling somewhere between like picks 10 and 16. So either at the back end of the lottery or right in the middle of the first round. And it looks like EJ, after the combine, has actually jumped up a little bit because early on it looked like he might slide to the second round. Now he could go as high as pick like 19 or 20. I think that he impressed people at the combine. Correct me if I'm wrong. I think he had the highest vertical leap out of everybody at the combine with like his shot blocking skills and stuff. The way he jumps, so that was very impressive. I know he weighed in at like 245, which I think is a little bit heavier than what he was his senior year. But everything is pointing to him going somewhere between 20 and 30, which means he would be joining a contending team.
Which would be, I think, the best fit for him. And like we can get to the game after I say this, but you know – everything about Liddell, you kind of figured he was going to improve after the combine because those are like the measurables. And when it comes to the measurables, EJ Liddell, he's literally an athletic freak. So you only figured it was going to probably benefit him. So Mike Schmitz is one of my – is like if you follow the NBA draft, Mike Schmitz is the guy. He's just the dude. He knows everything. He is the guy to follow. He loves EJ Liddell. He also loves Malachi Branham. He just got a job with the Timberwolves. I believe it was the Timberwolves. He's got a job in somebody's front office. So it'll be interesting to see kind of if he goes after one of those guys, because he talked very highly of Malachi Branham and of EJ Liddell when he was interviewing him when they were going through the combine. So it'll be really interesting to see kind of if he uses that new front office role to maybe go after one of those two. So we'll see, but who knows?
EJ kind of sounds like
Trailblazers.
Oof, that'd be a tough. That would be kind of a tough situation.
Yeah. Seriously,
he seems like a very EJ. Seems like here's my bold prediction. So I don't think that EJ is going to drop to the second round because I think that he's a very safe pick. I put this in the article too. I don't think he has any A plus skills except maybe shot blocking that he's going to bring, but he has a ton of like B plus skills like rebounding, perimeter shooting, mid range shooting. He's doing much better handling the basketball now. So I feel like a really good contending team at the back end of the first round, if they get to like pick 24, 25, 26, and you're like, oh shit, like EJ Liddell is still sitting here. Like he's probably never going to be an NBA All-Star, but he'll probably have a long career as like a solid contributor. Somebody will take him at the back end of the first round versus Malachi. I wouldn't be blown away if somebody reaches and takes him at like pick 9 or 10. And I don't think that anybody would question it and be like, oh, that's a reach. Everybody's going to be like, ooh, that's a really interesting pick.
Yeah. It will be the draft is 2 weeks from you guys hearing this. So definitely will be interesting for Ohio State fans to watch and as Cavs fan to watch because I think we might get Malachi Branham. So that'd be fun.
The mailbag question that we got that we thought was worth addressing was rank the returning Big Ten players 1 to 10. So we both made a list, and I don't know about you, but I also included transfers coming in because if there's a really good transfer, I have to include them among the best players.
I did, but I only have one because there's only one that I think I can guarantee will transfer. So. Transfer well.
Do you want to go first?
Probably the same. Yeah, I can go first. I'll just roll through real quick. I'll go 10 to 1. I just think that's always more fun. 10, I actually have a tie just because I didn't know how to put it. Caleb McConnell and Boo Booey from – I'm much higher on Boo Booey than a lot of people are. I do think he's a good guard. I think he's a great guard. I do think he's a good guard. Also, just clarification – both these guys will be knocked out of my list if Pete Nance returns to a Big Ten team. Just saying, if he returns to Northwestern or goes to Michigan, whatever the case may be, Pete Nance would be on that list. So 9 is Race Thompson. I think Indiana had one of the best front courts in the country last year, and they both came back. So 8 is A.J. Hogard. He'll take a big step for Michigan State this year. 7 is Jalen Pickett. I've been very vocal. I love Jalen Pickett. I think Penn State is putting together a really good team in a year where the Big Ten might be a little bit down, and they are definitely something to watch with Jalen Pickett running it. 6, I went just to Suing. I do think Suing has first-team all-Big Ten kind of talent. We'll just have to see how he is after his injury. 5 is my one transfer. I took Terrence Shannon. I mean, there's no reason to think Shannon – he was one of the best transfers in the portal. There's no reason to think he won't be fantastic for Illinois. Right, Illinois? Yeah. I always keep getting that confused. 4 is Jameson Battle from Minnesota. I think he's kind of the guy that, like, if you didn't follow college basketball closely, you don't know who he is, but he will jump out next season. He will be that guy that kind of takes a huge step. Similar, I don't think as big, but kind of a Keegan Murray type thing. Speaking of Keegan Murray, at 3, I have Chris Murray, who I think will take a Keegan Murray type jump. 2, I have Hunter Dickinson, and 1, I have Trace Jackson Davis. I think the 1 and 2 are obvious. It just depends on where you put them. So – that's my 10.
Oh, we have – let me look here. We have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 of our 10 guys are the same actually.
Nice. I think it wasn't – to be very honest, and I could be wrong, it wasn't the hardest list to put together. I don't know. Maybe – I don't know. And like I said, I didn't include too many transfers. Like a guy – I think a guy like Tanner Holden could be on this list. I don't know how he's going to translate. So there's a couple guys. Cam Winter could be on this list for Penn State, but I don't know how he's going to translate, stuff like that. So we'll see.
Yeah,
I would no, not on this list is Patrick McCaffrey. I've seen him on people's lists, so take him off.
All right, so yeah, we have pretty similar. So at number 10, I have Justice Suing. At number 9, I have Cliff Amore from Rutgers, their center.
He was like 12th for me. I think
he's going to be really good. I have Boo Booey at number 8.
Ooh, another Boo Booey guy.
I think that Boo Booey was actually really good last year too, and people just because Northwestern sucked, but he was very good last year. At seven, I have Seth Lundy from Penn State, who I think was a very good player last year and will continue to be a very good player. I have Terrence Shannon at six. I have Zach Edey at five, even though he looks like he doesn't like basketball. He looks like somebody's like forcing him to go out there and play. I feel bad for him sometimes, but he's good. Zach Edey at five. Jameson Battle at four. Chris Murray at three. Hunter Dickinson at two. And Trace Jackson Davis at one. So we had pretty similar. I think the main thing we notice is that only one Ohio State player, that's Justice Suing, and he honestly barely made it on the list for me.
Yeah, and I don't think that's a huge deal, to be honest. The sum is greater than the equal parts, or the you know how the saying goes. I can't think straight today, but
if you fool me once,
yeah. When also I did see like that top 100 list that came out from like that random Twitter user that didn't have an Ohio State player on the top 100. Please don't look at that list. Patrick McCaffrey was on that list. Please don't look at that list. Patrick McCaffrey is not a top 100 player in the college basketball.
I didn't see that list, but I'm glad I didn't.
It's not a good list. It's a bad list. And a list like that, like, it's inevitably going to be bad. Ranking the top 100 players in college basketball is damn near impossible. So, you know, yeah.
Last thing we're going to do is we're going to put Justin on the spot, and this is going to be a lot of fun. So there are over, excuse me, there are over 800 basketball players still in the transfer portal. Most Power Five programs have their lineup set. So you have the whole, is the grass always greener on the other side? I don't know. But there's a lot of players. Most of them were like guys who rode the bench who are still looking for a home, and these spots are running out. So I don't know how this is going to work for a lot of these guys. A lot of them, and you've seen it, have been returning to the team that they already played on because they can't find a spot that's going to be any better. So we're going to do transfer portaler or U.S. congressman. I am going to read a name, and Justin is going to tell me if he thinks that that player is a college basketball player who is currently in the transfer portal looking for a home, or if it is a U.S. congressman, and then I will tell him that he's wrong.
This is going to put my lack of sports knowledge and politics on blast, so this is going to be great.
And, I mean, there's like hundreds and hundreds of people in the House of Representatives, so yeah.
Listen, let's not do hundreds.
If you get it wrong, I'll tell you like where they're from, okay? So let's take a look here.
I'm ready.
Okay. John Carter.
I mean, that has to be a U.S. congressman, but it's probably a basketball player. But I'll go congressman.
That John Carter is a congressman in Texas's 31st district. So there you go. You got that one right. Right. Let's go.
There's probably a John Carter in the transfer portal, to be honest.
Let's go with Jake Elzey.
That's a basketball player.
That is a congressman in Texas's 6th district.
Big Texas fan, huh? All right, so I'm one for two. I'll pay attention to how
it down. How about Daryl Jordan?
You've gone two congressmen in a row, so logic would just dictate that this is a basketball player. I'll say basketball player.
Daryl Jordan is a sophomore small forward from Jackson State. So you're
did two not and catch one. Jackson State this season, but
I am. Let's go. Let's find another good name here. All right, we'll go with all right, Gerald Nadler.
Congressman.
That is a congressman from New York's 9th district. All right. So you're hot right now. You're hitting it right now. All right. How about Percy Miller?
Percy Miller?
Hersey Miller with an H.
Hersey Miller. Who names their kid Hersey? Okay. I hope that's a family name. I'll go basketball player.
Hersey Miller is a sophomore point guard transferring out of Xavier. Really? Yes, and he went to Xavier. he went to the same high school and was a teammate of Chet Holmgren.
Oh my!
At Minnehaha Academy in Minneapolis.
Yeah, I know Holmgren was from Minneapolis. He must not have played at all because I watched a good amount of Xavier this year.
Yeah, I'm guessing not. We'll do. Let's see another good one here.
I'm trying to answer them quick so I can prove like I'm not Googling them or anything because I'm not. But
yeah, how about Donnie Tillman?
That's a congressman.
Donnie Tillman is a senior forward from New Mexico State.
I should have guessed. I'm a big New Mexico State fan.
All right. How about?
What am I? I'm 4-2. Yeah, I'm 4-2.
Yeah, you're hitting them right now.
It's not bad.
All right. How about Isaiah Chandler?
That's a basketball player.
That is a basketball player. He is a junior center from Omaha. All right, you're hitting it. We'll do.
Oh,
we'll actually do
that one because Omaha. I lived in Omaha.
We'll do three more. We got
shout out to Frankie Fiddler at Omaha U. I covered him in Bellevue. All right.
How about Donald Payne Jr.?
Congressman.
That is a congressman from New Jersey's 10th district. Oh my
doing a
god!
Lot better than I thought it would. A lot He's of these are just guesses. Right, I'll be honest.
All right, two more. How about
it'd be way more impressive if I was saying like where they were from, which I've not done yet. So,
how about let's see if I can get them on one here. Let's go with how about let me find a good one here. All right, how about Warren Davidson?
Basketball player.
He is a U.S. congressman from Ohio's 8th district.
Ooh, that's a bummer.
That is an Ohio congressman.
That is my congressman.
I want to look and see actually what
I hope he's not my congressman. That would be a bummer.
Where is Ohio's 8th congressional district? Hold on. Let me see if that's your guy.
No, he's between Cincinnati and Dayton. He couldn't be further from me.
Okay.
So okay. That's good. Oh, thank God.
Last guy we'll do. Colton Mitchell.
Basketball player.
That is a point guard from UMass. So
yeah,
I've
heard that name before. I was 7-3.
I think you got 6 out of 10.
I think I got 7, maybe 6.
Okay. That was I was trying to throw you with an Ohio congressman, but I didn't want to give like a really easy one, like Jim Jordan. Like, oh.
I still probably wouldn't have known. Oh wait, that's that. I do know who that is. Okay.
So that is it, Justin.
I passed.
He passed his civics test here. But the point is, there are so many players still in the transfer portal that are probably just going to end up going back to their original schools because there's only so many spots at Power 5 schools, and a lot of these guys are going to end up probably going back to where they played previously.
Yeah, the transfer portal is weird, and unfortunately, it's kind of a concept of like, I don't know, it's kind of like you said, I think people always kind of assume that that the grass is green on the other side, and sometimes it's not, and you know, sometimes it is. I don't know. I think the transfer portal is very enticing for players, and I think that's a lot of the reason that we see them take it, because it is kind of like their first, like, I don't know, I guess recruiting is kind of like free agency, but it is kind of like a free agency kind of, and I think people just like new things, you know? So we'll see. I don't know. Hope all these people find homes, even if it's their old homes, and succeed in whatever they're doing.
Yeah, join us next week for NASCAR driver or basketball assistant coach when we just dig up all white men. That'll do it for us today. If you're finding us on landgrantholyland.com, make sure to also subscribe wherever you get your music and podcasts, Apple Music, Spotify, whatever you use.
Yeah, and if you want to follow us on Twitter, at the Twitter account is Bucketheads LGHL or something like that. Yeah, obviously our main account is LandGrant33. If you want to catch everything we do with football season coming up, there's a lot of great podcasts that we do. Hang out in the Holy Land, Buck Off, a lot of great football content. And I'm sure if you're a Ohio State basketball fan, you probably at least pay some attention to the football team. So my Twitter is Justin_Golba, I think. If you want to give me a follow, feel free as well. Connor, what are you? Where are you? What's your Twitter?
And then if you guys want to follow me, you can follow me at Lemons, which is LEMONS_Connor. Sorry for the delay a couple weeks. Feeling better. We should be back on every 2 weeks now until the season starts up again. So thanks for listening and have a good rest of your week and weekend. Go Bucks.